Welcome to the Coaching Revealed podcast series on leadership coaching. I'm one of the podcast hosts, Emily Tarani. In this series, we bring you insightful conversations with top thought leaders and experts in the field of coaching. In today's episode, IOC Executive Director Jeffrey Hull sits down with IOC fellow members Pam Marcheski, Eileen Kosky-Fascia, David Bishop, and Eric Kaufman. Our IOC panelists detail how they entered the field of coaching from various industries and how their coaching professions have grown into full-time careers. It takes an entrepreneurial spirit to turn a dream of being a coach into the reality of running your own coaching practice. Panelists highlight the work that comes into knowing who you are, what you're good at, and understanding how to view your practice as a business. As coaching is one of the fastest growing industries in the world, Pam, Eileen, David, and Eric reflect on the experiences and communities that supported them through their coaching journeys to where they are today. We end with moving from our IOC panelists' reflections on their careers to their vision and advice towards the future generation of coaches. Don't miss this inspiring episode. Let's get started.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Coaching Revealed. My name is Jeffrey Hull. I'm the Executive Director of the Institute of Coaching. And today I have a special treat on our podcast because we have four, not just one, not just two, not three, but four of my favorite executive leadership coaches with us. And it's a really special opportunity for us to dive into the theme of Coaching Revealed, because these four folks are all very senior, successful executive coaches in their own right. They are fellows with the Institute of Coaching. They have been actively involved with us on a number of different levels, doing a number of programs, including a recent leadership forum that we all did together in San Diego with a large group of executive coaches and health and wellness coaches from all over the world. So I wanted to have an opportunity to chat with each of them and just dig into the backgrounds of what it takes to become a successful coach. So I have Pam Marcheski with me here. I have Eric Kaufman. I have Eileen Kosky-Fascia and David Bishop. But I will start with sort of an opening question to have every one of you sort of welcome yourself by reflecting a little bit on why coaching. We all have a journey that got us to where we are today. So how did you all get to be where you are today as successful coaches? So Pam, you're the one that's closest to my camera here. So I'm going to turn to you to get us started.
Good morning. Thanks for having us, Jeff. It's really an honor to be here. It's interesting when you say successful, I'm like, I don't know, then the story in the head, right? But my name is Pam Marcheski. I live in beautiful San Diego. I run a company called Intentions to Actions Leadership. So it's a mindful leadership development coaching. And how did I get here? Am I a coach? You know, I think I tell people I spent decades in retail at a senior level. And so I say I was always the boots on the ground girl. So now I kind of say I'm like the sheet metal worker of coaching. I love watching people grow. I love just being out there with them and seeing that. And I felt that way my whole career. And so I was transitioning out of my retail world, just the idea of human behavior and helping people achieve growth has always been a joy for me. And then just the evolution and the changes in our world today, I just found that I started to introduce mindfulness in it because I had put that to practice for myself. So about 5 or 6 years ago, that's really when I took on that persona of, you know, a professional executive coach. Although I kind of feel like I've been doing that for decades. So I think it's just a true joy, true and a privilege.
And was there a moment when you all of a sudden knew that it was going to be coaching as opposed to anything else?
Yeah, I think there was. I mean, when I came out of my corporate life and was actually considering going into another corporate role, I was in the middle of taking for my own self personally at UCSD, the mindful performance program that I'm now certified in and I coach with. And there was this moment where I thought these two work, you know, that leadership development is so important today, but there was that missing access. And I really felt like these two could come together beautifully. And that's when I decided to take the year-long journey of getting certified and put aside going back into the corporate world in any other way. And then I had such great mentors, and really I got to learn from all of them, including several right here.
Yeah, that's great. We're going to talk about that because I think network, mentoring, community is one of the things that makes it the journey not only more likely to succeed, but also more enjoyable. Eric, hi. Jeff. Good to see you again. Love to have you here. Tell us about a little bit about the journey for you. I know it was a convoluted one because I know you and I know that it was a long journey, but successful one. What were some of the highlights for you about coaching?
Yeah, you know, I think it was interesting hearing your answer, Pam, because I think similarly, you know, in my life, there have been people who have leaned in and paid attention to me in a way that has been instrumental to me being able to evolve and grow and sort of make the best out of weird situations or difficult situations or even great situations and ad hoc coaches or mentors. And I remember particularly sort of being when I worked at corporate, to use Pam's terminology, right? I worked in a large company and I was screwing up pretty royally. And my boss was remarkably not a coach. When somebody else actually leaned in and helped me figure out that there's a way that I can not be so stuck, it was very impressionable, right? It really like impressed me that somebody could spend that time with me and help me reconfigure some of the way I'm thinking. So that was, you know, that was sort of an early career experience. It's much more exciting to me. You know, at one point I had this decision to make, you know, do I continue to go in my executive role and have personal responsibility for the outcomes, or do I just do what I've been doing on the side? So I was one of those coaching managers, right? So people leaned into me, I leaned into others. And at some point I realized it's more exciting for me to be full-time engaged in this work of coaching than it would be to sort of pursue my responsibility for the P&L for the company and do coaching on the side. And it was also a way to kind of continue my spiritual practice. You know, when I'm doing the coaching, to set my own agenda aside, to be able to listen deeply, to honor the uniqueness of the other person, to have a sense of humility about what I know versus what I can bring to the other in the form of questions. You know, I really realized that coaching would be a spiritual discipline of sorts. I don't mean coaching is a spiritual discipline, but I mean it would support a spiritual practice in the way of bringing it forward. So those were sort of some of the decision factors.
That's great. Yeah, no, I think you're both pointing to that it's a very personal decision that we make to maybe step out of a corporate role or step out of the leadership specific role and actually take on responsibility for supporting others in a way that is also a journey of learning spiritually and otherwise for ourselves. So thank you for that. That's great. Eileen, how are you today?
I am great. How are you today?
Great. I'm really glad you're here. How did you come to be a coach and why did you choose it?
You know, it's interesting though. As you were speaking, two things kept emerging that hadn't emerged until we started this conversation. And one is I grew up going to sleepaway Jewish camp. And all the way from the time I was a camper and to the time that I was a counselor. I mean, the key was to be there 12 or 13 years so you could get the red jacket and be like the leader, the senior counselor. And the reason that I bring it up is because it was such a beautiful experience of both learning and kind of finding myself in so many of the times that we had to reflect, being part of a cabin, being part of a team, having to figure out how things work together in a system that sometimes either worked or felt like it didn't work. And I think from that moment on, I started when I was 8 years old. I think from that moment on, there was something with me that always felt that I needed to be in connection, in community, in service. Tikkun Olam is the concept of giving back, of being of service. And that sort of has followed me through everything I did, whether it was in retail, whether it was in corporate, whether it was, you know, in leading or opening companies, whatever it could be. And I thought about what was that kind of moment that I felt that I had the right to call myself a coach. It was after certifying and learning and being part of a lot of things and being certified in a lot of different coaching and leadership development contents. And, you know, in the role that I had, I was able to buy a lot of coaching for the company that I was with. I could buy a lot of leadership content developing. And I think that moment that I thought I had earned the right was the minute I gave myself permission to not think that the coach had to be just a coach, that I got to be a coach, a consultant, an advisor, a friend, an executive, a business person, and that I started to have a confidence in my ability to mind shift, to hat switch, to be in service of what was needed for me at the time, where I felt I could be of the most value. And it was just sort of, I guess I maybe was a bit spiritual, Pam and Eric and David. There was sort of this just knowing. And I have to say, I was very fortunate. I am very fortunate because I had the time to be able to figure this out, because I'm in a partnership with Don, my husband, and he kept with the corporate job, which meant I had the time to explore. And I don't want to pretend that that wasn't a gift of privilege. And I take it very seriously to give it back.
Yeah, it's a journey for all of us from the inside to the outside at the end of the day. Whether you want to call that a spiritual journey, there's clearly a calling that's being underlying all of what you're saying. And David Bishop is also a very important fellow with the Institute of Coaching and a great friend of the Institute and of myself. And we want to know, how did you choose coaching?
Sure. So I had about a 3-decade career in the entertainment business. And I started actually wanting to be in the music industry and started in the backroom record store, and then eventually transitioned into the studio business, the home entertainment business specifically, and eventually, rose through the ranks and became president of MGM, Sony Entertainment, and International Theatrical Division. And then I moved to Sony Pictures, where I became president of Sony Pictures Home Entertainment, and really had fun in that career until I didn't. And when I examined, what I did over my career, I found that I really enjoyed, building high-performing, highly engaged teams. And I recognized that there was a strong correlation between financial results and people just having fun at work. And so I thought, well, how can I do that? How can I make this chapter about that? And I found coaching to be the way that I could help individuals, I could help teams. I work a lot with CEO founders and help them scale their businesses. And, I find the work just exhilarating. And going back to Pam, I love to see people grow. And I was able to, meet people like this on the call. And I too had an early connection with Eileen, who helped me on the path to make the transition from being a leader and changing that mindset to be someone who can really kind of actively listen and help people co-create a plan and a strategy to move forward.
That's great. Yeah. And it's so interesting as I listen to all of you that there's so many paths. And I'm thinking of the question, and there's not going to be an easy answer to this question, but if I'm listening to this podcast and I'm thinking, oh my God, these guys and gals are all incredibly successful and they all came to it in so many different ways. It's one thing to decide you want to be a coach, right? And we all from various places have made that decision and at various times in our career. But then turning that into a successful business, making money, surviving, sustaining, getting to the point where you can actually consider yourself some level of success. If you were giving advice to someone coming into the field, what was the kind of thing that you would share?
I'll pop first. I had the opportunity, and actually, David and Pam worked with me in this as well when I was the lead faculty of coaching and leadership for LMU's Loyola Marymount University's executive MBA program. And one of the pieces of curriculum I spoke about was the Zanger-Folkman sweet spot. So there's three concentric circles, if you will. One circle is around, I'm really, really good at this. I'm better, whatever the this is, the task. I'm better than most everybody else, and I know it. I'm really confident and competent. And there's another circle that talks about that people would be willing to pay me for this. I'm getting offered some sort of compensation. And the third one is, and I really, really like it. I feel good. I know I'm good. I feel really good. And people want this service. And when you think about sort of those three dynamics, you think about, well, if I really, really think I'm great and I love doing something, but somebody doesn't want to pay for it, then it becomes a hobby. And if I'm really, really great at something and somebody wants to pay for it, but I don't feel it, then it's a chore. And if I'm really, really loving something and somebody wants to pay, maybe it's a new job, maybe it's the first time I'm doing coaching, but I'm not that great at it yet, then I think of myself sort of in novice tasks and learning. And the ability to take the concentric circles and have that intersection of I'm really good at it and I know I am. And I know I am because I've done the due diligence and I have the ethic to believe that I have the tools and resources that I'm able to produce and to contribute. And it feels good to spirituality, to mindfulness, to the ethos that I'm creating. These things make me feel good when I'm working with this kind of client, when I'm thinking about this kind of service. And somebody wants to pay me for it. You know, we could be great and think we're great, but if nobody is wanting your services, then you need to kind of reflect on, so what do I need to do or should I be doing it? I start with what's working and what feels good, and we move from that.
You know, Jeff, I'll pop in for a minute. And I think when you talk about, you know, what does it take for me in this transition from corporate into my own independent is one, leaning into others, you know, so really checking the ego of strong individual contributor moving into this business of doing this, you know, in a different field, really required me to really make sure that I did the due diligence of understanding what this was, you know, and many who come into the field, for me, it felt like I still had to do the work of it is a lot different when you move into the coaching field as your sole profession. The other thing is you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. You know, and we teach a lot of that in mindfulness is like, how do you sit with the discomfort of knowing that there's not going to be a perfect model laid out for you, particularly if you are moving from a very structured world to something that is a little bit less unstructured. So sitting with that discomfort. And the third thing I had to remind myself, and I still do every day, is I am not everybody's cup of tea. Like you should know who are you serving? I know I'm a good coach for those that I serve. Staying in that lane for me has been helped me very much stay focused on who I can serve at the highest level. And really knowing yourself is really important.
Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying about flexibility, because becoming a coach, being independent, doing it creating a business if you do decide to go on your own, or deciding to work with an organization of coaches, I mean, it requires an incredible amount of flexibility. Eric, David, what about you guys?
So for me, I found the transition, you know, one, getting certified from Columbia University or from any, you know, top certification school is really important, because even though, you may come out of corporate, you may be a leader, you may be a leader who's an active listener, eventually you're someone who has to make a decision, take input, and drive the company and the rest of the team. And you really have to learn that skill set of, you know, truly connecting with someone and truly helping them find their own path forward. For me, in terms of developing the business part, I went to the people that I met along the way that I felt were excellent at that. There was a company at Sony that we worked with who was good at finding coaches for people. I went to that person and said, hey, you know, I'm on this path. Put me on your roster. Let me get out and make a few mistakes and really kind of learn this craft. I worked with USC and brought professors in from USC when I was at Sony to help create kind of future scenario thinking around the business. And I went back to that professor and said, okay, here's what I want to do, and ended up partnering with the school and develop a leadership development program there. And then, you know, you just have to keep networking. You know, the Institute of Coaching is a great place not only to learn about coaching, but also network with people and get business, because that's happened to me a number of times just being a part of this organization.
Ready to advance your coaching practice? Join the Institute of Coaching and tap into the world's leading resource for coaching science and professional development. With over 4,000 members across 130 countries, the IOC offers invaluable networking opportunities with an elite global coaching community and innovative learning to broaden your knowledge and keep you at the forefront of coaching best practices. Engage in cutting-edge learning events with world-renowned coaching scholars, from webinars and seminars to discussion groups, research projects, and more. Try any membership free for 30 days. Use promo code IOCPodcast and visit instituteofcoaching.org/join to get started.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, it's truly a learning journey.
It is humbling. Yeah.
Eric?
Listening to all my colleagues and thinking about this, And I should say, you know, I started my coaching practice in 99. I got married in 99, sort of started in 99, started earnestly in 2000. I had just come back in 97 from having dropped off the grid entirely. So I gave away all my worldly possessions. I built a cabin in the woods and I lived truly off the grid. So I was gone from the world as we know it. I had this revelation to come back. So I came back really saying, okay, I'm going to do this. You know, I want to do this. I want to help people. I want to be a coach. I want to be a leadership and executive development guy. And so, you know, so we got married in 99, started my practice in 2000. We bought the house in 2000. We had a child in 2001, a child in 2002. And my wife wanted to really raise the kids and not have to go to work. I'm like, oh crap, that's a lot. Right. I went from, because I don't know if I told you, I like gave all my money away in 98. So I had no money. And suddenly I have a wife, a house, you know, a starting business, two children and a responsibility. And so it became like, you know, I don't have a lot of time to figure out the theory on this. We got to hit the ground running and make this work. You know, the reality is we can talk about coaching and we can talk about the coaching competencies and coaching certification, but it's a business.
Yeah.
So the question is, what does it take to be successful as an entrepreneur running a business, right? And I've been running my own shop for over 20 years. I have other people working with me. I have a staff, et cetera, but what does it take to run a business is the question. You know, the fact that it's coaching is relevant and irrelevant, right? The question is, how do we as an entrepreneur, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, be successful? Passion is a Latin word for suffer. Compassion is to suffer together. And so to have passion is to willing to sort of suffer through the challenges required for that devotion to make something happen in spite of the obstacles and the likelihood that it may not happen. And so there's kind of that passion that breeds perseverance. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is you just got to have a really good dialed in business approach. That's my experience. The last thing I would add is you got to sell your ass off, you know. I mean, network is sweet, and, you know, relationships are sweet, but the reality that Dave is not saying is he was out there selling, you know, and what's the formula for success is the sell. And it might be a soft sell, it might be a gentle sell, but it's a constant sell. Right. You know, right. There's a practicality and a mechanicalness to it as well. And then I'll say one last thing, you know, totally echoing Pam. I'm kind of a big picture conceptual guy. And so it's really difficult for me to turn around and coach somebody who's, you know, starting out in operations, you know, where what they want is really more advice and concrete pieces. And so I'm really well suited for the C-suite. You know, I'm really well suited for the CEOs. Those are my clients because I can fly high in this realm of possibility, but then we got to land on the ground and still be accountable. And in that regard, the fact that I've run my business as a business, when I'm sitting with another business person, there is that simpatico vibration that allows us to be authentic together as we then go off and explore the things that they're not accustomed to exploring.
Yeah, I think what you're saying also, Eric, is it was great that Eric, you popped last, because as I'm listening, I'm thinking of the arc of the conversation. At the, you know, as you were introducing each other, you talked about sort of a spiritual or deep soulful journey of passion to find your way in the world, you know, make a contribution. And yet, as Eileen described that three-dimensional overlapping circles, it also has to be a business. It has to be something real, or else, as you said, Eileen, it's a hobby. And there's nothing wrong with having a hobby. I think, you know, to all of those folks out there that are listening, thinking, yeah, I'm not sure I really want to go that far. You know, it's okay to have a hobby as a coach, be a part-time coach. But you're also pointing to the fact that if you're going to really become professionally successful, you really have to treat this as a business, right? And that is fine with that.
Yeah. I want to amplify on what Eric said, because it is, you know, very much a marketing exercise, it's a selling exercise. You really need to define your market. You know, I would advise people to pick a niche. You know, Eric talked about him being focused on CEOs. I focus on CEO founders who are scaling their business. Know those people better than they know themselves. They all end up being on a similar journey. And you being able to understand that and speak to that and help them eliminate the pain points is a really powerful marketing message. You know, you know, just like when you go out and you look for a job, you need to have an elevator speech, right? You need to be able to stop people in their tracks when you tell them what you do so that they engage with you and ask you more questions about what you're doing.
I think that's so great. Well said. And I fumbled along the way so much in the early beginning. And I think, you know, Eileen was such a good mentor of all this. And when she said the hobby thing, you know, I consult 168 different boutiques across the country. And I always tell them, who's your customer, right? And like, you need to run you need to know your operating statement. You need to do that, or else it does become a hobby. So what's your bottom line?
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I would also say that if you're many of the folks that come to me in my role, similarly to Eileen, and ask me because they know they need a niche, but they're not sure what their niche is. I will often say that you need to fall in love with your niche. For example, I did not know that I was going to have a big part of my practice be in healthcare, working with doctors. But when I first had the opportunity to meet a couple of physicians through my relationship at Harvard, I just fell in love with working with them. And all of a sudden, one day I realized, you know, I really like this client base. I really enjoy learning from them. I want to learn more about what they do. And to David's point, I knew I needed to become much more knowledgeable about what they do, because what they do is very complex, right? And so if you're going to step into a hospital and say that you can coach a senior surgeon or an anesthesiologist, you better take the time to figure out exactly, not be one, of course, but to learn a little bit about what to be facile with the language and with the environment, with the culture. So, you know, to your points, it's turning it into a business, finding the niche, connecting your passion to what's in the real world. Before we get towards the end of our talk, though, I would love for you all to comment on the current state of coaching. It's obviously a growing profession. Studies that we've done at the Institute indicate that it's one of the fastest growing professions in the world. So I'm curious, and I'll let you pick which direction you want to take it, but, you know, what excites you about what's going on in the profession right now? And also, what worries you? What are your concerns, if any?
You know, Jeff, I love that you asked that question, because it is such a fast growing industry. And I think that's great that so many people want to serve others.
Right.
But I think, you know, what I would say is, like, it is a privilege. It truly is a privilege to get to coach another human being. And so if you're wanting to go into that in this fast growing industry, you know, and even in my own world, I used to tell my leaders, you know, it is a privilege to get to serve others. So take that seriously. And, and really challenge yourself, like, on what is it going to take? What certifications do you need? What organizations are you going to be part of? The Institute of Coaching has been instrumental for me, because you are affecting another human being. I remind myself every day, it's not about me. See them whole. Guide, don't give. I think if you're confident in who you serve and you really are true to the passion of serving others, there's plenty of those who will find that.
Yeah, I'm excited about the evolution of coaching. It wasn't that long ago when if an employee was asked to get a coach, that meant they were about to get fired.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then slowly, people start to get, okay, well, if you look at professional sports, right, you have a tennis player who's, potentially earning millions of dollars, and they have a backhand coach, a forehand coach, a nutrition coach, a fitness coach. And then you have these people who are in these positions that are responsible for sometimes billions of dollars, and they don't have the ability to have a safe place, to have a conversation, to engage in growth strategies. And more I see the light going on in just across every industry. And that's really exciting, people are starting to get fearful of AI. And, we did this session in San Diego, and I think for a lot of us, the switch went on, like, no, AI is potentially going to be a really intelligent assistant that we have, at our side to be able to really amplify the work that we do. So everything points in a positive direction for me.
I'm excited. Similarly, I'm excited about the normalization of coaching. Mm-hmm. That it's not a disease treatment or a faltering kind of thing, but that it's normal to engage with somebody who can be an objective, intelligent, caring party that can help you make the kinds of decisions and developmental leaps that are difficult to make solo. So that, I'm excited about the normalization of coaching. I'm excited about the sort of sophistication of coaching, the integration of, from my perspective, to your point, I'm really sort of dialed into this conscious leadership where there is this combination of, practicality and transcendence and how they come together. And I see more and more of that sort of coming into the coaching space, and a lot of folks drawn to coaching are really, caring, smart, creative people, and that's very exciting. I think I'm concerned about, with the normalization comes a commodification, right? I'm concerned about the commodification of coaching, and I'm concerned about the consolidation, this kind of land grab on behalf of larger organizations as they try to, emerge as the definition of coaching. And I think with the sort of commoditization and consolidation, there's a risk of coaching becoming less diverse and less interesting because it has to be more structured and more sort of scaled, right? And so, this combination of both repeatable and boutique unique kind of approach, because human beings are unique, right, will continue to be an interesting sort of balancing act going forward. But I feel very bullish about the space and about the people and about the service we provide.
That's great. Yeah. But you raise a really good point that as it grows, big corporates are starting to get engaged in it, and then they will try to leverage the economics of scale, and that could potentially diminish the quality. So that's something that we all have to pay attention. Eileen, what excites you or worries you?
I was going to say it's interesting because I had the opportunity to run big programs at Wells and to do to be the head of coaching and leadership and all of that. There were so many times where I was that person that I liked a piece of content and then I wanted to have everyone within the group be certified so that we would have internal coaches and we would have internal facilitators and we would take it from here and move it to there and customize it and do all that stuff. And now that I'm kind of on the other side of this, I realized that probably, and I something is emerging for me right as we're speaking, so thank you for helping me birth a new piece. But I think that the concept of coaching is tagamount to being able to help people to expand their mindset. And so I did this for Kaiser when I was leading their consultant workshop, but I hadn't really put it together as much, which is around, I believe the future of coaching expands itself to a coaching mindset, so that we have an opportunity to guide and Sherpa leaders and consultants and physicians to understand when it is in the best service, when it makes sense to be of coaching mindset. So we've used a lot of different terms in the past, but what is the sense that we're really wanting in order to elevate the concept of coaching? And it's that people become able to be more curious, less judging, more intentional about what they are thinking and what they are doing in order to help, to serve, to lead, to manage, to be partner with. And so the concept of the future for me, what I'm excited about and hope that we can figure out how to make the space, garner the funds for, is to help more people think about the mindset, the mind of a coach in its purity of thinking about how to help others, individuals, groups, whatever, identify what is their best and strongest potential, help them to grow, David, and help them to grow that potential for success.
Beautifully said, Eileen. And, you know, I know we're going to wrap, and it's such a privilege to just be with the four of you, both to create programs together, to share our experiences, to share our journeys. And the thing that I am sitting with, and it's really filled with gratitude of being part of a network, part of a community at the Institute of Coaching, where we all come together and learn, because it's an endless journey, right, of learning. But I think the thing that I'm sitting with, and it's so inspiring, and I hope those that listen will be inspired and optimistic about the profession, is that like many of you, probably all four of us, all five of us, I started coaching about 20 years ago. And at that time, it really wasn't being taken seriously. People were like, what? You're a what? You're a shrink? You're a life? What? What is that thing? And suffice to say, you know, we've come a long way. I mean, I'm kind of looking around at this visual of the four of you, and this is a profession, and you are professionals. We are professionals. And I think it's such an honor to have been part of the evolution to create a community and an association of what is truly a profession that makes a difference in the world. Science-based, evidence-based, learning. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about raising everyone up, right, Eileen? That's what you're talking about. I hope everyone listening today finds something valuable in the incredible journeys that you've all been on. And I look forward to a time when we can come together again live with our community and continue learning and growing together. So thank you all for taking the time.
Thank you all.
Right.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you all.
Thank you all. Join us again soon. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Coaching Revealed, brought to you by the Institute of Coaching. You can learn more about the Institute on our website at instituteofcoaching.org. You can stay up to date with new episodes of our podcast by liking and following Coaching Revealed. You can also find us on social media, on LinkedIn, Instagram, and X with the handle Institute of Coaching. We also love hearing from our guests, so please reach out to us with thoughts you have on this episode and any questions you have about coaching. Until next time, this is Emily Tarani with Coaching Revealed.